Something you never guessed about me is that before I got saved, I was a very terrible guy. I was a polygamist. I had two wives. I was about to go the third one and the fourth one. Jesus came in his mercy and grace. He crossed my way and had encounter with him. 1993, in April, I'll never forget that. At the funeral of my friend, my best friend, who just passed away in his good age, the preacher spoke about the message which says, it is appointed for man to live once and then to die. And after death, the judgment. The message was like pointing directly on me. And the preacher said, what if the body who's sleeping here was your body, and that you are the one who died? Where would you be? I didn't give my life right away. I felt shocked. I felt touched. I felt too much touch. I left the service. I ran. It was about 25 kilometers from that place to my home. I ran home. And remember, I had two wives. And I told my wife, Eva, because she's the first one, I say, I've heard Jesus calling me to give my life to him, to change. But the hard was to go to tell the second wife that today I want to decide to give my life to Jesus. I told Eva, she said, this is great, because she's been praying for me for a long time. Because before she got married to me, she knew I was a man who loved God. I got married when I was 18, so I was fearing God, loving God. But then, so long story short, I told my wife, Eva, I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to see the man of God. I'm very touched. And at night, I went to the second wife. I said, hey, you know what? From now on, you're not my wife. I'm saved. I'm giving my life to Jesus. For the first time ever, the second wife cried. I don't know if she cried because she was touched or she cried because she regretted that I'm going to leave her. Long story short, early in the morning, the next day, I went to see the man of God. I had no peace. I knelt down. I cried out, confessed my sin, and asked the man of God to pray for me. He also cried. He wept. And both of us went on the knees. We called on the name of the Lord. And Jesus wiped away all my sins. He saved me. 1993. In April. I'll never forget that. I agree what Paul said, that Jesus came to save the sinners among all. He was the chief. I want to thank God for salvation, but I want to ask him to keep me more, to help me, to lead me, to guide me, because we're still in the journey. I want to thank Eva for being there always for me before I got saved, even now. May God bless you. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm standing before your people. Precious people, blessed people, chosen people to speak your word. I pray that you use this word to encourage, to help, to guide, so that we may be all, O Lord, touched by your spirit through your word, and help us to stand strong in this very critical time we are living. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I greet you all again in the name of Jesus. I know those who are following online. Pastor Vicky, hey, I greet you wherever you are. I know you're following me. I can't wait to see you coming here God bless you. So as we've already read, for those who is the first time to see me, my name is Sammy Kabiemera Atoki. If you call me Atoki, I feel like a king, but don't do that. Just a respectful name in our culture. So we already read, and I'm going to speak about the message which says, when you are facing the storm, fix your eyes, your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the topic. When in storm, keep your faith in the Lord Jesus. When in storm, keep your faith in the Lord Jesus. I'm so grateful that the brother has already read the passage in the book, and I'm sure because of time, we are going directly to enter in the Word of God. When in storm, keep your faith in the Lord Jesus. This is the topic. This is the message today. When you're going through storm, when you're encountering the hardship, the hard time, keep your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important. As we read in Matthew, the Gospel, chapter 14, verse 22 to 33, you can also find the same passage which was written by John, chapter 6, from verse 15 to 21, kind of similar story, but we are studying here, we are sticking with the passage in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 33. It is a wonderful event which took place. I like it. It's great. It's awesome. And if you read this passage, it's amazing. And sometimes I think, oh, I wish I was there among the disciples to see what happened, to be part of this. But thank God, he didn't want us to be there, but he also knows that we are going through the situation which are kind of similar in Christian life. So the Bible says, where we read, that the event took place shortly after another famous miracle that Jesus fed the 5,000 people. And after, Jesus sent the disciple back across to the Sea of Galilee in a ship, while he remained behind to send the multitude away. And then the wind grew stronger. But also, after he sent the disciple, he went to pray. I like that part. The Bible says on the sea, there was a terrible wind. The wind grew stronger, tossing the ship. Of course, as of the sea, they are troubled to see coming, Jesus coming toward them. When they see Jesus, they thought he was a ghost. They cry out in their fear to Jesus. But Jesus told them, "Fear not, I am, it is I'm the one, fear not." He tells them not to be afraid. That's when the man called Peter, the disciple, after he realized this is Jesus, I like the other translation, Peter said, if it is really you, let me come unto you on the water. Jesus accepted. It's amazing. Some prayer, you just pray and Jesus answers right away. I don't know if you have encountered that. Sometimes you pray and you wait, and then, you know, pray, wait. But this one, when he say, "Hey, if it's really you, let me come." You say, "Yeah, come over, man. Make it. Come on, come." That's good. And Peter descended to the sea. He climbed out of the ship, and sure enough, he walks on the surface of the water toward Jesus. Amazing experience. Beautiful experience. Peter, just as he's walking, he changes his eyes, starts seeing the winds all over. Peter is afraid. When the wind blows violently and starts drawing quickly, he called to Jesus for help. Jesus reaches out his hand to save, to rescue him. Then Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" What a great event taking place on the Sea of Galilee. When Jesus and Peter made it into the ship, the wind ceased. The disciples all worshiped Jesus, declaring it to be true, Jesus to be true, the Son of God, that you are really the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, as I was praying, as I said, the Lord gave this message to me so that I can give us today. When you are facing the storm, keep your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great encounter the disciple had when they saw Jesus walking on the lake, on the sea, on the water. That was a great encounter. That's something good, but also something that can create fear, a lot of fear. First of all, the Bible says they were afraid because when Jesus was coming, they thought he was a ghost. And then when he said, "Oh, don't be afraid, it's I, it's me." They said, "Wow, okay." Then Peter took the place and said, "If it's you, let me come to you. Let me come also walk on the water." I love this passage. There are many lessons we can bring from this passage of the Bible. There are really many good points. We can even do a conference, a seminar, teach about this story, and you can get a lot of life lesson about it. But I want to give you a couple of points here because of time, and I want us to learn this because I believe God knows we are going through storm in our lives. We are going through very tough time in our lives. And here I have some point that I want to give to us through from this passage. Number one, there is the importance of prayer in solitude. The Bible says when the disciples were on the water, Jesus, he was praying. He went to pray on the mountain. Jesus started the night praying by himself up in the hills, solitude. Prayer is important. The importance of prayer in solitude. Taking a time in the morning, setting a time aside before all activities, it's a wise thing to do. It is helpful. It's a sign to show God that you are humble, to accept that you cannot make it by yourselves. You need help. You need his support. Jesus went to pray. The Bible doesn't say why he was praying about, but he went to pray because that was his custom. This was his habit, to seek the Lord, to talk to God. And prayer is vital for us Christian. Taking your time before God is for your good. It is good. Someone say, if you are busy and can't find the time to pray, you are really very busy. May God help us. May God help you. Time for prayer is not a wasted time. Time in prayer is a time which is very invested in the kingdom of God. I tell people, you may have it all. You don't need anything. I remember when I went for a visit to my friend one day. And after I finished talking to them, and then I asked, "Hey, is there anything I can pray for you? Is there any request, any need?" And then the old man turned to his wife and said, "Honey, is there anything we need here?" "Absolutely nothing. We have everything. We don't need nothing." "So okay. So can I pray for you?" "So, no, you're good to go. Nothing to pray for." And then I told them, "Hey, how is your family? How is your home? How is your relationship here?" And the wife said, hey, you know what? We are planning to divorce. We are very soon. Gonna call it done. I said, okay, so don't you think you need prayer? Yeah, sometimes we think we don't need prayer. But let me tell you, we need prayer more than we can think. It's important to take a solitary time and have time with the Lord in prayer. Cultivating the relationship with God through prayer, it's an important thing. Jesus took his time to pray before he went to meet the disciple on the sea. Point number two, in this life, we'll find ourselves in storms, sometimes at inconvenient times, and we will have to fight for our survival. Difficulties come. Situations may always come. Those, they had to face the storms, and they were there on the sea, and the storm was so strong. But they needed help. They needed help. The Bible says, in the dawn of the day, fairly around morning, it was too much waves. And that's when Jesus came. Why? He came to meet them. He knew they were in a problem. He knew he were encountering a very tough time on the lake. I remember when I was coming back from Congo in 2014, when I went there to see my mom for the first time. She's gone now. She's not. She just passed away this year. I feel happy that she's in a good hand. She's in the hand of God. So when I was coming from Africa, from Congo, sorry, coming to Uganda, just in the middle of the lake, just Lake Edward, there was a terrible storm. Terrible waves, terrible wind, and everyone was just crying, and I could see it. Everyone was, okay, we're going to die. What are we going to do? We're going to die. I told them, come on, guys, we'll be fine. And I myself, I knew, okay, if we die here, then, you know, we got to be ready. You could see the wind coming, and the water is like a mountain, and you can't see the other side, and everything is black. And we prayed and prayed and prayed and called on God, and, you know, And to make the story short, and then we found us. We decided to go back, by the way. We decided to go back. And before we reached the other shore, everything was calm, and then we turned our side to go back to come to Uganda. So in this life, we'll find ourselves in the storms. And that is not convenient. It's inconvenient time. And we will have to fight for the survival. How do you fight for the survival? You only need God. You only need Jesus. The disciples were in a very tough time, and Jesus came toward them to help them. Some people think when you go through storms, when you go through tough time, it's because you have sinned. No, not necessarily. Trials come. Storms can come to anyone. Oh, yes, sometimes, of course, it's because of, you know, you fall short. In your life, you disobey God. Sometimes it may be the reason, but not necessarily. Sometimes you may come to the point where you find you're facing a hardship because of your faith. And you have to be strong and trust in the Lord, because this is what it is, part of life. Have you ever faced the storm in your life? Yes, it is part of life. Trials, tribulation, hardship. You need to trust in the Lord. You need to fix your eyes on the Lord. Point number three here, know that Jesus is always there, even sometimes in unexpected ways. Jesus is there in the midst of a storm, but he may show up sometime in an unusual way. We need to know that he is there. He told the disciple, fear not, it is I. Eventually, when we go through tough time, it is hard. Our eyes is always fixed on our problem. It's hard for us to see Jesus. We tend to see our problem more than to see Jesus. But remember, he is there. Emmanuel, God with us. He promised not to leave us, not to forsake us. He told the disciple, I am. It is I. I'm the one. I'm not the ghost. They thought he's a ghost. I'm not the ghost. Brothers and sisters, we are on this life and we go through many things. But in all times, we need to know God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's with us. He said, it is I. It is I. It is I, Jesus. I am the one who's coming on the ocean, on the sea, on the lake, on the water. Fear not. I don't know what you're going through now. I don't know what you're crossing. But I want to tell you today, Jesus is there with you. He'll never leave you. And he'll never forsake you. The disciples were afraid, but Jesus came and said, it is I. Fear not. The following points, there will always be the automatic reaction of fear. But remember this, the Lord's tender voice, do not fear. Fear is natural. When we encounter the hardship, the terrible thing, the difficult thing, our first reaction is fear. Why? Because we are unable to face it on our own. Why? Because we are human beings. The only thing we can feel is fear. The disciples were afraid. But Jesus told them, fear not, it is I. Don't be afraid. I don't know what you're going through. You may be afraid of the situation you are living in, you are facing. You may be terrified by the situation that you will encounter. But the Lord is saying here, fear not. Many of us know it from Genesis to Revelation. It's repeated 365 times. Don't be afraid. Fear not. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the Lord is telling us again today, fear not. He told the disciple, fear not. Why? Because they were afraid. The following point is here. Maybe sometime, I like this, you'll feel the urge to experience great thing, marvelous thing from God and to see the glory of God. I like this point. When I remember what Peter did, when I go deep and think about this, wow. You know, among all the disciples, Peter could have a big revelation when he heard that is Jesus. And he said, hey, if it's really you, let me come to you. I think it's important to see here that Peter was so close to Jesus. And he knew God. He knew Jesus to be really the Son of God. And he has a deep relationship with him. So when he saw him, he said, hey, let me come. If it's really you, let me come and walk like you do. In Christian life, time comes in life that we want to see God's glory in another dimension in our life. Whether in the ministry, whether in our walk with the Lord, we want to encounter his power, his grace, his marvelous love toward us. This happened to me. I got saved in 1993, and in my time of training and studying and, you know, preparing myself for ministry until 1997 when I got ordained, there was a time I remember, because I was good in preaching, you know, the word of God and seeing people getting saved, but I was asking the Lord one thing. I said, Lord, I know the Bible says in my name, you'll do this, you'll do that, you'll do this, you'll do that. And I said, Lord, I haven't seen it. I see people getting saved. You know, when I preach, I call people for Jesus. I saw many people responding. But I've never seen people get healed. I want to see people get healed for your glory. Then the Lord did it. I was praying for people. People are getting healed. Then I said, Lord, thank you. But I want to see people being delivered from the evil spirit. That was deep in me. I went to the mountain. I fasted and prayed. So, Lord, if really this is true, I want to see people being set free. To make the story short, one day we were in the conference in another city, and there were a lot of people in lineup. They were all possessed by the witchcraft. They call it Sasara. They were Sasara. They had the witchcraft. Maybe you guys cannot know it here. It's a black magic. In Swahili, they call it Ulozi. It's a terrible thing. I think the guy who from Nigeria may understand this. And people were lining up. They came, they said, we want to be set free. We are tired of this. And then I was, oh, Lord, I want to see this experience, how it works, how your power can set these guys free. I never done it. But there are others who are in the room. They are, you know, they have good experience in delivering people. In the name of Jesus, I said, oh, I'm going to go there. I want to see that. It's exactly what Peter did. I want to see if it's you, Lord. So I went in the room to make the story short. I was there. They asked me, hey, have you ever done deliverance before? I said, no. I said, okay, then you don't. I said, no, let me just be there, please. I want to see. And then I saw how they are praying and, you know, in the healing room. And I said, whoa, this is real. I saw people crying, the evil spirit going, and people are vomiting, and people are setting free. People are vomiting things. Things are coming out. I was filled with the power of God. I said, come on, let me do this thing. Let me do these things. So I said, prepare for me a room. They prepared for me the room. They came to my room, man. I just called the name of Jesus. Lord, I need you to... Before I finished to pray, the young boy fell down, vomited everything. I said, oh, it is working. Lord, you are real. You are true. It's working. And guess what? Since then, I could not keep myself quiet. I was after the demons. I was after the demons in the village. I said, people, come. I want to pray for you. They know me from my village. So whenever I come, people line up. I pray the deliverance prayer. I really like it. That's what happened to Peter. He wanted to see, he wanted to experience something new. If it's you, Lord, let me walk. Let me come to you. Let me try. Let me come closer to you. On one hand, it's tough. It's dangerous. But on the other hand, it's good. You know, when he stepped out of his comfort zone from the ship, to the lake, start walking. That was a great adventure. That was spirit adventure. That was good. I'll just wait whenever I meet him in heaven. I want to see that guy, Peter, and say, Peter, you were a big guy, man. You're good. So this is another point here. In life, sometime you'd like to experience something good, something bigger, to see God moving in your life, moving in your ministry, moving in your family, moving, seeing what the Lord has done, what the Lord has said in the Bible to be true. It's important. The following point, as I'm going to finish, is here. Keep faith in the Lord and do not take your eyes off Jesus. This is exactly related to our topic today. When facing the storm, your faith must be fixed on Jesus. The Bible says, fixing our eyes upon the Lord Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. When we go through tough time, there are many tendencies for us to look away. We tend to look here, we tend to look there, we tend to call people on the phone, seek the help here and there. This is natural, this is important, this is part of life. But here, we are called to fix our eyes on Jesus. When Peter was looking unto Jesus, he was walking. But when he switched his eyes from Jesus and started looking down, he saw the winds, he saw the wave, and he started drowning down. So when you go through tough time, your faith must be put upon the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us. May God help us to keep our eyes on him, fix upon him, no matter what. That's very important. And the final point here that I want to give is God really cares. I like this. God really cares. He first deals with our fear before he corrects our struggle in spiritual walk. Remember this. When Peter was drawing down in the water and he was crying unto Jesus, a good habit, Christian habit, when in problem, we call upon Jesus, a good habit, you know. When he was calling upon Jesus, Jesus said, hey, the Bible says Jesus took him from the water first. He came to save him from the water first. After he saved him from the water, then he corrected me. He corrected him. He first saved him from the water. I love this part. And then he corrected his faith. What happened to you? What happened to your faith? How come you have a little faith? But first, he took him, he saved him. It's amazing that God loves us so much. When we mess up, he doesn't first judge us, but he first saved us and then correct us. I see it over and over in the Bible. Remember that lady of John chapter 8 when he was caught in adultery. Jesus did not judge him. But after all the adversary was gone, Jesus said, I don't judge you either, but one thing, go and sin no more. So it's important to see the love of God even during our weaknesses. When we face our tough time and we are really weak, God is not there to judge us. He's not there after us to hit us, to kill us. No, he's there for us to save us first as a parent and then to show us the right thing to do. Oh, I love this. Finally, Jesus is really the Son of God. After they came out of the water, they are in the ship, all of them, the disciple, they saw Jesus in another dimension. They said, oh, truly, this is the Son of God. The good experience they had is to come and see and understand really Jesus is the Son of God. It is amazing that when you go through tough time, through storm, through difficulties, after you've overcome all this, your faith climbs the dimension. You see God in another dimension. It's amazing. Look, Job went through tough time. We all know the story of Job. But what did he say? He said, my ears was hearing about you, but now my eyes have seen you. It means all these difficulties we go through will never leave us the same. After all our struggles, after all our situations, if we keep our faith strong, when we come out of this situation, our life will have testimony. We will know God in another dimension. We'll see him in another level, and we'll worship him in another way that really you are the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, no matter how busy you are, it is important we set a time for prayer and meditation of the Word of God. In life, let us keep our eyes upon the Lord and obey his command when he's calling us. When he's asking to do something, we need to obey his voice. Yes, our faith to the Lord Jesus is important. Sometimes we tend to fear, but fear is not for our benefit. Fear will always pull our faith down. We need to trust in the Lord. When things go wrong, remember God is always there with you. He's always there with us. He doesn't need big faith. He just needs a little faith, just as a seed of, just a little faith in the Lord will help us. Remember one thing. When you go through tough time, when you go through storm, you have choice either to worship your problem or to worship God. May you always worship God. May you always choose to worship him because he is the Lord and he is the King. We really need faith, all of us. We really need faith every day. We need to grow in faith every day. We need to develop faith every day so that we can always overcome what we may be facing. You need faith. I need faith. Why? Because doubt is what Satan wants to put in our life every day. I was reading one story here. It says, the story is told of a man who was one day taking a walk on a cliff overlooking a beautiful hillside. As he looked at the beautiful view of the landscape, He leaned even further over the edge of the cliff. Unfortunately, he slipped, falling nearly 500 feet before finally grabbing hold of a tree root. Looking down from his perilous location, he saw that he was still approximately 2,000 feet up from ground level. After contemplating his situation for a few moments of time, he decided to yell up to the top of the cliff. Is anyone up there? A voice immediately answered and said, yes. Then the man yelled, well, who is it? The voice answered, God. The man responded with, is it really you, God? The voice replied, yes, it is me. The man replied, I do. What do you want me to do, Lord? And God said, turn loose. After a few moments of silence, the man cried, is there anyone else up there? You see, doubt is part of our life. Doubt is always there. But remember, God wants us to overcome that doubt by believing and trusting in our Lord God. One day, a certain church bulletin was written there was a contract put, and it said this way: doubt sees the obstacles, but faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkness night, but faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith answers, I do. We need to ask God to help us to develop faith, to live in faith, to walk in faith in our life every day. Why? Because faith is needed. It's more needed now than ever. You need faith. I need faith. We need faith more than ever. Especially as now, we need more of us. We need faith. We need faith. Do you have faith? Do I have faith? As I'm talking now, do I have faith? Do you have faith in the Lord? To walk with him, to walk in that storm, to walk in that difficulty, we need faith in the Lord Jesus. Another story is told of a tightrope walker in a circus who once asked his audience this question: how many of you believe that I can walk backward? Everyone in the audience raised their hand. He then walked backward on the rope and asked, how many of you believe that I can ride a bicycle across the rope? Again, every hand was raised. He rode the bicycle across the road, and then he asked, how many of you believe that I can push a wheelbarrow across the rope? The same response was given. Finally, he asked, who will volunteer to ride in the wheelbarrow? Not a hand was raised. Why? Faith is something difficult, but we need the Lord. Brothers and sisters, when facing the storm, let our eyes be fixed on the Lord. Let our faith be in the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Bible says in Mark chapter 9, the man who brought his son to Jesus and his son was suffering from epileptic issues. He thought the problem was the disciple. He thought the problem was other people. But he came to Jesus. He said, if you can help us. You know what Jesus said? If you can believe, everything is possible for those who believe. And what did he shout? He said, Lord, help me for my unbelief. As this man, we all need to ask God to help our unbelief. Again, as the disciple asked Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. We need the Lord to help us every day to increase our faith. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, I'm going to finish this passage, this teaching now. When the Son of Man will come, will he find faith in this world? Brothers and sisters, we are facing storms in life, and we will face them. Jesus did not say the Christian life will be easy. He said clearly, in this world you'll have tribulation, but have faith, have courage, take heart. I have overcome the world. May God help us. May God help me. As we live this Christian life in this very critical time, may our eyes be fixed upon the Lord. He is the beginner and the finisher of our faith. The Bible says, if really we were risen with Christ Jesus Christ, let's fix our eyes on him. Let's set our mind in the things above. May God help you. May God help all of us. I don't know why what you're going through, but let me encourage you today that in all your storms, may your eyes, may your faith be fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll see victory. Shall we pray? Lord, I thank you for this wonderful message that you've given us today. We may not know what exactly, who's going through what, but one thing is true, your word will never come back without fulfilling the reason why you sent it. And when you give this word like this, you want to encourage someone. And I thank you, Lord, you're encouraging all of us as we are facing this time of many difficult news, of hardship, of confusion, of changes here and there. Lord, may you help us. Let our eyes be fixed upon you. Let our faith be into you. Let us be, oh Lord, people who have unshakable faith, walking every day, trusting in you, standing strong. Oh Lord, help us. As Peter called on you, let us learn to call unto you, Lord, so that you may help us in our difficulties. Bless your people. Bless this church. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you.